Welcome to Two's Talk with Tosh, Dino, and Donnie.
Tosh, how you doing, bud?
I'm awesome, Donnie. You know what?
Wow.
I'm excited. Hey, weekend two of practice is coming up. Been doing practice plans all week. Pretty pumped. Get to see the kids again. Oh, it's going to be great. Hope they all did their box drills.
I'm excited.
600 of them.
I'm excited to see if they've done their homework. We'll find out real
quick.
That's
right.
Sure.
We'll find out.
Any weekend you can spend at the Diamonds, a good weekend for sure.
Amen.
Dino, what about you, bud? How you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. Like, physically, I'm healthy.
Sure.
I'm got a little bit of a conundrum right now.
What's that, Dino?
Well, we have an amazing
guest
coming
up,
which I'm going to let you know. Well,
what?
If I've used it incorrectly, I know you're going to let me know, Tosh. But
yeah,
we have a really cool guest on here right now, which, Donnie, I'm going to let you introduce.
Oh, okay, sure.
But he's used to asking all the questions, so I don't know how we're going to do that. So I'm just hoping this kind of works out. Otherwise, we're all going to be kind of sitting here and talking about the weather.
Well, Dino calls me today, and he goes, well, what are we going to ask him? Like, what are we going to talk about? And I said, we're not.
No.
He's going to do a lot of the talking. It's going to be awesome.
Well, it brings us to our guest. And obviously, we've had some fantastic fastball guests and some former players and some coaches and a famous curler. Today, we're bringing in a famous broadcaster, which is an unbelievable get for us. I don't know how he did it. It was me. But anyway, we have Mr. Peter Loubardias with us. So, Peter, welcome to the cast. Thanks for coming on.
Guys, this is I'm excited as all get out because it takes me back to so many different places with all three of you for lots of different reasons and takes me right back to either the ice or the diamond or both in seeing all three of you. So it's pretty neat for me, to be honest.
Awesome.
Well, I mean, so yeah, as I was saying offline, you know, generally we're probably the professionals of the group when we have people on, and now we have you on, so we're going to have to really polish up here. It's a tough task, but really love having you. Play-by-play guy for the Flames, which is exciting. If you're a Flames fan or not a Flames fan, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's exciting. Season just wrapped up, so that we can talk about ball mostly, but I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about hockey. So, Peter, I'm going to let you just run with it. Tell us a bit about how you got your start in this industry.
Well, since I was a very little guy, and I came to the understanding that about 12 or 13 that I was pretty good at hockey and I was okay at baseball, but that wasn't going to lend itself to me making any money doing it. But I've been a massive sports fan since I was like wee little and knew at about 6 or 7 that I really wanted to be involved in sports, but had really had a want to be a sports broadcaster. So after graduating high school in Saskatoon, at 18, I went to the Western Academy of Broadcasting, which back in the day was just a radio college, for 4 months, and ended up in 1984 at CJSL Radio in Estevan. I did news, which almost ended my career in the first year, and I'm not kidding. Don't like news to this day. Love sports, but it was a way in. And when Ray Morrison, who you might be familiar with,
W. Ray,
who was my longtime buddy, and we grew up across the back lane from one another on Waterloo Crescent.
Wow.
He was in Estevan at the time. He left to go to Saskatoon, and I became the sports director and the voice of the Estevan Bruins a year later. And I guess this year, 36 years after the fact, I'm still plugging away and have had, you know, what can I tell you? A few bumps along the way. But if you would have ever told me that I would have had one iota of the opportunities and calling Memorial Cups and called the Olympics and the NHL. And I mean, it really, I can honestly say, I could have never dreamed one iota of the stuff that I've been fortunate enough and lucky enough to do.
Well, now the apex of it all, you're on the Two's Talk podcast. It's all coming together.
Listen, you know, again, before we started, You know, I've been thinking about this a lot during COVID, and the fact is I've loved softball and baseball since I was little. I mean, I grew up in Saskatoon, an incredible softball hotbed. I was involved with a senior A ladies team, the Saskatoon Harmony Centers, who won a couple of Canadian championships. And, you know, I can honestly, I can vividly remember, and I know you've had Mark Smith on this program, I remember going to watch the Saskatoon Jacks, Eddie Fainer, and remember, you guys will be able to back me up, when I was growing up in Saskatoon, on CFQC television on Saturday afternoon, they used to show the special men's game of the week on Saturdays. It yep. had been taped. And back in the day, in the 70s, it was not strange to see 1,500 or 2,000 people at one of my favorite places on earth, Gordie Howe Park, for regular weekday ball games. So
where are those tapes, Peter? Where are they?
Wouldn't that be awesome? Pete Zacharias, Gene McQuilly, Robbie Ginter. I could do a whole show based on, you know, that alone. So growing up in that great city around that great sport, and, you know, then through a gentleman who was very much like my dad, who passed away far too long ago, Bob Stainer, who introduced me to the ladies game and all that went hand in hand. And I say this, guys, in all sincerity, and I know we're all big sports people and it's mattered so much to our lives, but what that 4 years that I was around that team showed me everything about, and Bob was a hard guy. You know, he demanded a lot out of his players. And I don't know, I learned so much, guys, about grit and resilience and work. And I am so grateful to have grown up around that women's team, because I'm not lying to you, that softball team, loaded with great people, in many ways established the foundation for everything in my career that I've been able to do.
That's awesome. Wow.
Just one quick backtrack. You mentioned Estevan. It's come up on this podcast before. We've all been to Estevan. Home of the world's best ginger beef is a little restaurant there that claims they have the best ginger beef. And I got to say, it's pretty good. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but...
Didn't take long for food to come into it.
No,
didn't take Donnie long.
I may have sampled it, Donnie.
Sure.
And my first friend that I made in Estevan, the Tower Restaurant, still going on. I don't know if you've ever been there. But if you go back to Estevan and go to the Tower, and I know a thing or two about pizza, just look, grew up in it, you will not be disappointed by the Tower pie. I'd put it up there against almost any pie on the planet.
Wow. We were actually going to give them a call and see if they wanted to kind of be a sponsor of the show. So maybe this is a good opportunity for us to do that.
I know the owners.
Well, we've given them enough plugs, obviously, that we should maybe make a call. So go back to this Harmony women's team. I did a little bit of research, as I'm known to do. In 1980, when they won nationals, you beat a little team from Lashburn in the Saskatchewan provincial final, just down the road from Lloydminster, the Blues, I believe. Pretty nice little plug for the small town of Lashburn.
Listen, I could do a show on this, too. So
we can have you back if you want.
Oh, yeah.
So Bob asked me to come on as the bat boy in, like, 1979. And at that point, the Harmony Centers, which was a real combination of a team that ended up splitting to make the Lashburn Bluebirds, because there was it wasn't completely, you know, Bob was a very polarizing guy. And Brenda Staniforth and Heather Campbell and Deb Donald and a lot of great Chris Gervais, Terry Crewley, they split. So in 1980, 2,500 people, Gordie Howe Park, for this incredible best of three provincial between the Harmony Centers. So imagine any rivalry you got, and you guys have been in one or two rivalries, but this thing was a hotly contested rivalry between two of the best women's teams in all of the country. And again, I can regale you with the details. So game number one, like I said, imagine this day, 2,500 at Gordie Howe to watch this best of three. Brenda Staniforth, 8 innings, game one. Donna Vale inside the park homer to give Lashburn a 1-0 lead. Game number two, instead of going back to Brendan, game two, they go with Marvell O'Donnell. We, the Harmony Centers, win 4-1. Game 0-0 going to the seventh. In game three, Shan against Brenda. Jay Cost at second, pinch runner. Nancy Brentnell, who did nothing but get big hits, drives it up the middle, can see it like right now, and the Harmony Centers win. We all go bananas and then end up going to Hull, Quebec for the Canadian Championship and what ended up being an incredible summer, because part of our team building that summer, I was just 15 and scared to death, we went to Holland. Now imagine being 15 and getting toured around Amsterdam as a very straight-laced kid, which I still basically am to this day, and having Shan McDonald and Darlene Soley. They even took me to the red light district during this particular trip. Got a chance. We played in an invitational tournament in Holland, won the provincial about a month later, and then went to Hull, Quebec. And it's funny because I've done a lot of junior hockey games at that arena, the old Robert Gartan Arena. It's not a ball diamond anymore, but I go back because they put a diamond in the parking lot of that arena, and I never go back there without going back to that spot. And that final day, our gals had to beat Alpha Sports or Doc Blues, whatever they were, out of BC, then beat Agent Court in 11 innings in the first of the AB, and then Irene Wallace throws an absolute bloody gem to win the championship. We win 2-0. And so 1980 was a pretty special time and a pretty special year.
Well, you talk about having to come back from the B side and beat the team twice in the final. That takes a real, real effort from everybody to get through that. So huge, huge intro into softball for you, for sure. Talk about a bit, if you could, your time Estevan Bruins. How was that, the SJ a little?
Oh, you know what? Donnie, honestly, so funny story. So the head coach of the Bruins when I started was Jerry James.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And Jerry, anybody who knows Jerry, played in the CFL, was a star running back in the Canadian Football League, and played in the six-team National Hockey League. And even at 55 or 60 years old, was one of the toughest SOBs you could ever, ever know and ever deal with. And he was one of the most intimidating guys ever. But for some crazy reason, Jerry took a liking to me, and we hit it off basically from day one. And I learned so much about the game. Like I'd spend all kinds of time in his office and learning about the game. In Estevan, in the regular season, we only did about half the games, and then I'd do period reports. And it wasn't an oddity for him to let me into the bloody coach's office in between periods to hear what was going on. But it was an unbelievable start. And in year one is the voice of the team. So the Bruins had beat Weyburn. The year I moved there, I didn't do the games. They beat Weyburn in a 7-game series for the SJHL title. The next year, my first year as the voice of the team, was 85-86. The Humboldt Broncos were 56-4. And the Estevan Bruins were 47-11-2. And they ended up playing in the league final, which I'm not over, by the way, to this day. Still bugs me. The Bruins trailed that series 3-1. They came back. Kevin Pastichuk scored in overtime. Game five, Easter Sunday in Estevan. The Bruins are up in game six, 4-0. Humboldt comes back, takes a 5-4 lead in the third, and the Bruins score 4 in a row and win that game 8-5. So think about it this way. Humboldt had lost four games all year. Now it's 3-3 in a series. We go back up to Humboldt. I was immature, so fired up beyond belief, 20, 21 years old. Biggest game I'd ever been involved in. And the Bruins go up 2-0 in the first period. I can see it right now. Jamie Wrigley hits the crossbar with 12 seconds to go in the first. Could have made it 3. And then Humboldt came back and won 6-2. And I'm not over it to this day. But my...
Oh, goodness.
My time in Estevan, I talked about the Harmony Centers and setting the foundation. Like, it was funny. When I got into the business, people said, well, if you spend, like, more than a couple years in a place like Estevan, you're probably really never going anywhere. But I was there for 4.5 years, called games, did everything. I coached kids softball with my own team for 2 years. Played in the Estevan Men's Softball League during that stretch. We ended up broadcasting softball games in that league in my last 2 years. So, you know, I get bugged every once in a while about, oh, Estevan, that must have been a great time in your career. No, that was an incredible time in my life. Very little responsibility, did everything, had a great time, and wouldn't trade it for a second. So it's a very, very fond place for me.
Peter, I think everyone's probably thinking we're only about 15 or 20 minutes into this podcast. Your memory has got to be top percentile on the planet, man. Like, we've had
middle
guests come
elephant
on here and they're like, I don't know, we won or we lost. You have actual details and names and times of goals. It's outrageous, man. This has been
fantastic. We already
fantastic.
Have to book him for a second one.
Ah, for sure. Yeah. We're only going to get halfway through, but I do like it.
What was good is, where you said, Peter, you said, I'm not even over that. And that was like, what, 30 years ago? Right? 30 years ago.
Just 86.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we all have parts of our careers that we're not over, you know, we never get over either. And I mean, I have one that, you know, like Dino's first national championship that he won in senior A was my fault.
That was so nice of Tosh.
I was on the other team. That was the problem. Good for Dino, but I was on the other team. But,
that was the very first conspiracy theory right there.
I'm sure everybody thought he did it on purpose. For sure.
Well, and I have a memory too, Peter, and we talked about it a bit offline, of I'll never forget, and I'm never going to get over. I've been with this program for 3 years, and I drive from Lloyd to Saskatoon for practices, and I work hard, and I try everything, and they go to Vegas for a tournament every year. And it's
every year.
And it's like... The biggest compliment you can get is an invite as a coach, and I've never gone. And I've never gotten over it. I bring it up every podcast, and I will until February rolls around. And if I've gone to Vegas, I might let it go. And if I don't, I absolutely will not. So I can appreciate how hard it is to not get over something. It's tough.
What else would you talk about, though? If we actually took you to Vegas, what would you talk about?
I would find something.
This is at least two-thirds of your comedy.
But you still can't let that go.
No.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, right? It's we all need things to hang our hat on. So, like, where are you going to go, Donnie, when you don't have that card to play anymore?
Exactly.
Let me worry about that, boys.
Where has Peter been?
I've been to Vegas, and I'm not really a Vegas guy. I'm not a party guy. But Vegas, I say, is one of those places that, well, A, go to a hockey game because it's pretty good. It's really good. You'll enjoy it.
Well, I've been to it.
It's one of those places you got to go, like George Street in Newfoundland. That's another place.
I got a couple of good George Street stories.
Well, to be fair, I have been to Vegas.
To be fair, I have been to Vegas.
Just never been invited with the group. And I'm sure I could go myself and just kind of walk around like a bum, but I'd really like to get the invite, is all.
I changed that. You can hang on to that now forever.
Thank you.
Yeah. I had a thought. Okay, so I'm just throwing it out there, Dino.
Here we go.
Yeah. We could probably make
Here
a,
comes
a
special
decision.
Guest invite for coaching staff to Peter Labardius. Get ready, everybody.
Well, okay, so, but he has the pedigree. I mean, national championships, post men's league. Like, look, he's a natural.
Pretty tough.
I like the game. Yeah.
I'll never get the pedigree if I don't get the invite, boys. That's all I'm saying. You can't get the job without the experience. You know? Chicken and the egg.
I'm okay. You know what I'm okay to do, though? Okay, Donnie, I don't... Listen, I know what your resume is in the sport, too. So let me understand that you've done a few things along the way.
Thank you, Peter.
Just let me sit on that bubble gum thing at the front of the dugout, and I'll relay some signs and pitches. That's all I need to do.
There he is. That would be awesome. But wait. But that's what Donnie does.
Yeah. Well.
That's what Donnie does. Okay, Peter,
No, not at all.
The show goes, and every once in a while, one of us puts it back on the rails. But I do want to talk about, and I know it's talking about things that, you know, Dino and I definitely, it's one of those stories that it was probably one of the most awesome experiences of our life, and it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to, and it's one of those things where you just, like, what's that song by... Black Eyed Peas that we listen to all the time.
Oh yeah, I know, we can't even listen to
it. I couldn't listen to that song for 6 months because that was the last song that Dino and myself, Jody Eight, and Ryan Wolf drove to the park every day together for the World.
Remember, we went on
the
railroad tracks. We went a different route to the park every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was driving, right? Was I not driving that van?
No, it was me.
Oh, okay. Well, then I said, take a left here, take a right here, and the last little probably two blocks was on the railroad tracks on the way to the park.
That was
okay. Not on the road. We actually went on the railroad track.
So it's one of those stories, and you brought up, you know, the final against Humboldt, and they did have a really good team. Didn't they host that year? Didn't they host
the next year?
Yeah.
They hosted in 87, had Billy McDougall on their team, who scored 83 goals, and lost 4-1 to New Westminster, the Sockeyes, in the final.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. A little bit about 09. You get to come back to Saskatoon, hometown, and, you know, at the World Championships. So give us a little perspective from your side.
09 was, honestly, guys, a dream come true. It really was. So having an opportunity to call the last day of that tournament on Sportsnet, national TV, anyone who knows me really well understands that one of my great passions is sports. But I love my country. So when a team wears a maple leaf, which one of the reasons I have what I have on tonight, the Softball Canada hat. So I was so excited to come home in a place to broadcast the World Men's Softball Championship. And all I could think about all week was, what would it be like? Honestly, you can't see him, but I have goosebumps like from head to toe right now about the opportunity of what it would be like if it all worked out and Canada won the world championship with me calling the game in the way that I wanted to in my hometown in front of 10,000 people. And, as you know, this team from Australia found their way, and you know, we saw the Adam Folkard at 23 years of age coming out party, and you guys ended up in the third spot. What can I tell you? I've had some amazing opportunities, and two of them were broadcasting that World Championship in 2009. And the other came last summer when I was lucky enough to broadcast the women's Olympic qualifier in Surrey, British Columbia. And I'm not just saying this for the sake of the podcast. When you get an opportunity to call your own country's games in a sport that I've loved since I was a little guy, and I watch Kaylee Rafter's home run. I've seen it more than a few times against Brazil. I go there about once a month just to remember and just feel how fortunate I was to be there. And softball means so much. And so that's where I go when you ask Tasha that question.
Wow.
To be fair to the fellas here. Folkard's still pretty good now, so he was all right.
Yes,
he is.
I've noticed that.
Yeah, he still seems to be doing all right.
However, he never beat us because we played them in the round robin, and we knocked him out of the game.
Oh yeah,
Kiwis couldn't beat him, but we beat him. Lost. We lost to Kirkpatrick.
Also, yeah, still very good.
In the crossover game. He's still pretty good. Yeah,
he's won a couple of worlds in a row. Yeah.
He's yeah, right. But we,
yeah, the New York Gremlins, not bad, yeah.
Nope, not bad at all.
Yeah. And we had Mark on this cast, too, and he said that if that World Championships had been on the year it was supposed to be on, which had been a year earlier, we had a chance to win, obviously, anyways, but we probably have a better fate because we probably had the best player in the world at the time, Jody Ait, who had just come off as ISC MVP, and arguably, and I'm not just saying this because he's sitting right here, but we had the best pitcher in the world at that time too.
Yeah,
Dino,
I agree.
Right, so those two guys, you know, if we can recreate that team in 2008, and Dino's throwing the way he was thrown, and Jody was lights out, but both were hurt, that hurt our chances a little bit. But anyways, that's one of the things that we wake up screaming about, Pete. So you scream at Humboldt, and we scream at the Kiwis.
And
so
I scream at
Donnie Hale's home run.
Yeah. You talked about, because we had Kaylee Rafter on last week, and what a great interview, by the way. Like, talking about her work ethic.
She's awesome.
But what we brought up was she lived out, every kid who's ever picked up a bat has always kind of had their own scenario when they're picking up the ball and throwing up and hitting it. You know, bases loaded or could walk off the game here, the home run. And she did it on the biggest stage. It's got to be a pretty huge moment. So to call that, I can't imagine the electricity.
The passion that she had, just in the talk,
you know what, guys, I live in a world of pro sports, okay, but I've always had incredible appreciation for sports at all levels, and especially, you know, in many ways, the game we're talking about. But going to Surrey last year, as much as just it was the country, and I got a chance to broadcast some games, you know what it really reinforced for me, and it's one of the reasons I've loved the game for a long time, is that I find in this day and age sometimes, and it pays my living and it has for a long time, but I was reminded last summer about, including Kaylee, these are women that it's not about making millions of dollars. They're quitting jobs. They're leaving good positions because they love the game and it was an opportunity to get back in the pinnacle of the sport, the Olympic Games. And what really makes me sad, okay, and you guys are the easiest crew in the world to sell on this, but because our focus in sports now more than ever is on where all the money is and all the status and all the stardom, and Dino, you know, you were a hell of a hockey player, okay, on top of, like, you're just a great athlete, and you guys, I mean, most guys were, but I think sometimes in our country, and I love hockey beyond belief, but then I think sometimes now of how we're missing out on opportunities for kids who they could get what you guys, look what you guys have seen in the world through softball and representing your country. I guarantee you those are opportunities that you would never trade for 1 second. And listen, you guys are part of, we all are a part of a specialized world at a certain point in time. But, you know, Steve Mullally, 2015. I'm not kidding when I say this. One of the greatest individual Canadian game performances, any sport, anywhere, anytime. How many people know about
it? Amen.
Yep.
Drives in 7 runs. 2 home runs, you're down three home runs, you're down 5-0 against New Zealand, gold medal game of the World Championship. People don't even know. So anytime, and I would have done this to talk about anything tonight, but I truly want to be involved anywhere because I love this game and I want more people to be exposed to it because I believe in it. And more importantly, including now Donnie yourself, how many great people have I met in my lifetime through sports and through softball?
Yeah.
The hell of a game. The hell of a game.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Yeah, like you think about it, I mean, where our lives could have gone in different directions. Okay, so Dino, you make Washington. Right? Yeah, you go on and you have your NHL career. You do your thing. That's awesome. You're not sitting here right now,
no.
Obviously. Right?
All sorts of things could happen differently, but you're right, Pete. Wouldn't trade a thing. All the stuff that we've done in this game, it's incredible. Now we have an opportunity to kind of almost go full circle, and I would love, our kids are going to listen, and our parents are going to listen, and people listening to this podcast obviously are going to listen, and they're going to hear the passion oozing out of you when it comes to this. I just wish they could see you on the video that we see right now, and just the animation that you have, and you can just see the passion, right? And I think it's really cool. We might have to get you in as a guest speaker at one of our workouts, because I mean that is one of the things that we talk about our program the most, that we have with our coaching staffs, our staff, is the passion in the game has to be there, because you know you're helping these 13 to 17 year old girls and guys, we got some guys in the program too, to realize their dreams. And we never have a coach that takes a day off, you know, it just doesn't happen, you know, so it's incredible. And I appreciate it. It's awesome to hear that coming from someone who you are in the softball circle, because I remember running into you in the airport. And I was going somewhere, I was going to Aurelia, I think, and you were going up, and it floored me that you knew so much about what was going on. And when people think about, you know, when I think about Peter Labardius, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, he's in the NHL, he's Cullen Memorial Cups, blah, 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 he came back to Saskatoon. Oh, it was awesome to see Peter here. But I didn't realize what you had invested in this sport. Yeah. And, it's awesome. And I tell people that all the time, how passionate you are about it. And, it's incredible.
Little question. Oh, go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Tosh was talking about bumping into you at the airport, and I was like, I wasn't going to ask you this because I'm like, well, Jesus, how is he going to remember this? But now I'm putting you on the spot. What park or where were we when we were in Ontario? I asked Tosh this today. We were in Ontario, and you came to the park, and I met
Aurelia.
You at the park. Are you sure it was Aurelia?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Castanorama.
Just cool.
Yeah.
A little memory.
You know, it's funny, even a couple of weeks ago, so we don't have a lot of sports to attend, as we know. So 2 weeks ago, I find out that Team Ontario women's camp for the Canada Summer Games, which unfortunately got pushed back to 2022, well, I spent a Saturday afternoon a couple of weeks ago just because I want to see. I'm fascinated by, and I always have been in sports, period. Like, who are the young kids, in a sense, who are good, whether it's hockey, softball, all kinds of different sports, and then see the growth. But bottom line is, for softball, you know, last summer I went out and watched the national men's team in preparation, the last two games they played before Prague. I love it. Up until about 6 years ago, when my streak came to an end, I did not miss a major softball event in Saskatoon from 1975 until about 2009.
Wow.
So that just became part of, but after 2009, because my streak was still alive at that point, and yep, that it didn't matter whether it was the Women's Worlds in 2002, the 1987 ISC, Rempel wins the Canadian Championship in 1994, Canadian Men's in 2000, which I got a chance to do part of the final game. It rained like hell we didn't even think we were going to play the final. Yeah, that's what I do. I love it. I love it.
Okay. Jeez, 2000. Huh. Who won that? Dino, who won that? Oh, yeah. Owen Sound won that one. After you guys won it in 99.
Are you dissing me right now?
No, not at all. I won
it in 2000.
You won it in
99.
Yeah, you must have had a blister. So,
we did not repeat.
So this is where I want to hear some of your, like, I mean, you talked about Estevan, that's awesome. So, mm-hmm. Like, I know you've got that one thing, that one game, that one moment in your broadcast history. You know, if you had to pick one moment as the moment in your broadcast career, what would it be?
Ooh. Yeah, I think I think I can get there. You know, I've already told you about a couple of really special ones that would be in my top five or six. I grew up in Saskatoon. There would be no way to tell you how big a Blade fan I was as a kid. I think I missed about four home games from the time I was 12 or 13 until I left to go to Estevan when I was 18. And my still to this day, in a sense, one of my all-time dreams would be to see the Blades win the league, which they've still never done, and win the Memorial Cup. So, yeah. And I've loved the Memorial Cup. I remember the first one, watching it on TV, Regina and the Quebec Ramparts, 1974, from Calgary, and I watched every, and remember back in the day, the only junior hockey game you got on television was that game,
right,
the Memorial Cup final, okay? So a little guy growing up in Saskatoon, loved junior hockey with all my heart, still do to this very day, and I'm going to try not to get emotional. So I watch all these games, never missed the Memorial Cup final from 74. And so in 2004 at Sportsnet, I get a chance to do my first Memorial Cup as the voice of the Memorial Cup in Kelowna. And try and keep it together. I got to the rink. It was a 4 o'clock start. Now, I'd done the tournament. We did every game in the tournament. But that day, I got to the rink at 12:30 for a 4 o'clock start. The lights were out. I was the only one in the building. There was like a couple of small lights. And guys, I looked at the ice and thought, your whole life, you have been watching this game, and today you get to bring it to the nation.
That's awesome.
And that, you know, that for me is an incredible dream come true that probably puts that one a little above anything. Because I just, you know, when I started calling games, you know, to have a chance to do one game in the Western League was really my number one goal. And then in the greatest ironic twist of my entire life, so I grow up loving the Saskatoon Blades more than life itself. And who's the team that I call the first Western Hockey League game for? The hated Regina Pats. Became the voice of the Regina Pats in 1989. Fellas, there would be no way to tell you how many nights I went to the old barn. I hated the Regina Pats. Like, just five.
Oh,
there was
gosh.
No point me even going to high school when those two teams played home games in Saskatoon, and my dear buddy Abe Danger, another big softball fan, went on, unlike myself, to really matter and be a doctor. Dino, you'll remember this. You guys might all remember this, but Dino, you'll remember this. So up in Saskatoon, like the old grungy barn, Abe and I, we went and we stood for every game so I could pace in the top corner to the left of the Blades' neck, and we paced around, and those games for Regina, my poor mom, who would drive me to all the games, I had to be there at least an hour and a half, because I had to be there for warm-up, for all the swearing and yelling and passion, and, oh, loved it.
Fantastic.
Stood up in the corner, right by the asbestos. Up in that
great,
corner over there.
Great nachos and cheese.
It didn't, for sure.
Great nachos and cheese in the old barn.
Well, we
Billy Smith's burgers with the onions when you came in.
Unreal.
Well, talk about
good memories, man.
The Blades' first four-year captain in the history of the franchise is right here from Lloydminster, Mr. Chase Wooters.
That's,
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
Very cool.
Phenomenal hockey player.
What a fine young man.
Yeah, and you know what? That's what I've heard from everyone, because I have a daughter his age, but he comes back. He's an ambassador. He's really well-liked, really well-spoke. Great kid. So the Blades, yeah. There's a lot of history there. But talking about the local connection that I have with Lloyd, you mentioned offline that you had seen Colin Abbott and the Lloyd Liners when they won 4 junior championships in a row. Arguably one of the better junior franchises in the history of the game. So I kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit, because we are actually probably going to try and get him to be a guest if he'll come on. Obviously, he's got a ton of stories, but tell us a little bit about that team, because the irony here is one of the players on that team from Lloyd, his daughter's now in the program. So the circle, it continues for sure. Kelly Thiessen was on that team.
Yeah. You know, Donnie, you were a part of it. You know, I was looking back after you contacted me just, you know, through some of the names. And needless to say, I watched that team on a couple of occasions during that run, for sure. Colin Abbott, Andy Jackson, Evans, you know, some of the probably, you know, guys who would go on to, you know, play for our national team certainly are some of the first names that stuck out. But it was, you know, an incredible program run by, you know, you guys may have had some funds through some good fundraising that didn't hurt the program, and being able to bring people in from all over, including Colin from Newfoundland. But I just remember what an incredible juggernaut that group was, and I remember the first time I saw your group just thinking, boy, our country's program is in pretty good shape, because I see some kids here that are going to play this game and play this game well at a high level for a long time. And it's funny, I don't know if this was the same weekend, but you know, with the Harmony Centers, we went to Lashburn a lot. There was a big tournament every year in Lloyd. And I don't know if this, you know, it wouldn't have corresponded necessarily then, but one of my great Lloydminster softball memories, you guys remember the Crownwell Oilers?
Oh, yeah.
And a guy who couldn't hit, and I'm being sarcastic, by the name of Barry House. Mm-hmm. Well, back in the day, the alignment of the ball diamonds was different back in the early 80s. Well, Barry House hit one onto the bloody highway one day. I still don't know how far that thing went, but it was one of the, you know, I can go to so many different places, but that group was a special group.
So that tournament was called the Tournament of Champions. It was one of the larger tournaments in Western Canada.
Yes.
But these two fellas on this podcast are reviving that tournament. Isn't that right? Well, it was supposed to be this year was the first one coming back. The twos were going to host the Battle on the Border tournament, and then, of course, COVID hit. So that plans for that are next year. But Lloyd's always been a really big hotbed for ball, especially being, you know, between Saskatchewan and Alberta. There's tons of good teams, easy to get to, great facilities. So talking about that junior team, Mike Lamb recruited guys, like you said, from like Barry Ellerbeck and Scott Evans from Ontario and Abbott and – but there's a ton of local guys on that team that were really good as well. But he, I mean, good players want to join good programs, and Mike Lamb did a hell of a job bringing that group together and putting it on. So,
they really started to hit, like 1990, I believe, was their first one, because they were at the juniors. Dino will remember this. They were at the juniors in New Brunswick, our last year junior in '89 when we won. We actually played Lloyd, and they had Garby was throwing for them. Jason Johnson was throwing for them. Sheldon Gardner was pitching for them. And then I think, and maybe not, but it looked like they maybe got a taste of it. And that's when they started bringing in Andy Jackson, Colin Abbott, Ellerbeck, O'Brien. All those guys started coming, right? So, they definitely built an awesome, awesome program. But I think their first year was '89, because they were at that Nationals in New Brunswick that we played at. Yeah.
Scott Evans, actually, a funny Scott Evans. Those diamond alignments, like you said, 3 and 4 have the lights, and they'd have special men's on those two diamonds. Scott Evans would routinely, as a left-handed hitter, hit a ball onto the middle of the diamond 4, which has got to be 350 feet away. And they'd have to call time in the other game, because he's walking around the bags after he hit a moonshot. He did it all the time. The time. Terrifying hitter.
Yeah, he hit a long ball.
Oof. I don't even know why I'm going to ask this question. Did he wear number 47?
Yep.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
You're ridiculous.
Yeah.
What are you? What? How does that even come into your head? Did he work for you?
Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Hey, here,
and I know he did.
Yeah.
And I know he did because I saw him walk around the bags quite a few times. I got a good look at his number after he had a mile.
You and everybody else in the country.
Yeah, I'm not alone in
Scotty
that.
Scotty Evans.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about Scotty now. So I wish he would have played longer. Like,
yeah.
I think there was issues, like either he was hurt or whatever.
I think his last year, there's some work there. I was his roommate with Broken Bow. He was on that Broken Bow team with Doc.
Oh.
When we had Mark Sorensen and Thomas Macchia. Yeah.
I thought he went with Houston a couple years later too. He wasn't nearly.
Could have.
But yeah, he
could have. He was around for a bit.
Him and like Ryan Brands, another name that came out of that group. They pitched in Lloyd. That just a phenomenal arm. And Ryan Ray, Razor.
Ryan Ray.
All right, one
Ryan
of our instructors, catcher extraordinaire. So
the catcher whisperer.
Tons of. So Peter, I wanted to ask you as I digress. You must have. So we're interviewing you, which has got to be weird for you, but you must have a doozy interview story of someone who's either been phenomenal or atrocious to interview.
Good question.
Like Tortorella or like Donnie Atkinson or like somebody like that. So I'd love to hear your take on what a good interview is and what a terrible interview is. And how are we doing?
Very good question. Very good question.
Well, you guys are awesome.
Yes.
So you're doing very well.
Well, we can unplug your mic right now too. So that's
good. Yeah, wrap good it up, everybody. Good. Yeah.
Good night, everyone. From Gordy Alpars, I'm Peter Lubardi, saying thank you for joining this podcast.
That's got to be your going line.
That's got to be our exit on every interview. That's got to be beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's gorgeous.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I don't know if there's any. I mean, there's been a lot of great ones over the years. I don't know. I feel like I'm letting you down because I don't necessarily. I don't necessarily have any that. You know, have I seen Tortorella's act? yes. You know, if I talk to guys who are just absolutely have two-word answers with absolutely no ability to string sentences together, yes.
That's me.
yeah,
how about
you know
Todd
what?
McClellan?
Todd McClellan is unbelievable.
I figured that would be a good name to start with.
No, you know what? That's so... Yeah, you know, I'll share this with you. One of my favorite interviews of all time is with some guy that you might recognize by the name of Sidney Crosby.
Very good lacrosse player, I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
yeah,
dancer.
Not bad at lacrosse. Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
So we go in to Gatineau to do a game between Rimouski and Gatineau in his 16-year-old year. And he walked in, and it's weird, right? So, you know, you've heard about this great kid. I remember watching him. He was in the whatever midget it's called now, Telus Cup, or I'm going. He was 14 and led his team to the final of that. So that's the only other time I'd seen him on television. And so he's 16. So I sit down with him, and I have like half an hour with him by myself.
Oh, cool.
And... asked him all the questions. And as you know, with Sidney, he's not always the biggest personality of individuals. But I'll never forget, and I like to tell this story even maybe for, you know, some of your young people in your program. Gracious, respectful, unbelievably aware, handled all the questions with nothing but class. And I'll never forget walking out of that room in Gatineau and looking at my cameraman and I'm saying, this kid isn't only focused on being great, he wants to and he's going to be the best. And the most awesome thing about Sidney, and I think it's one of the greatest qualities anyone can ever have, Sidney has never forgotten where he's come from. despite all the stardom, all the winning, all the Stanley Cups, to me, in a lot of ways, he is the gold standard for what classy athletes who care about their teams, their teammates. And let's remember, it's not easy to be him. That's not easy.
Nope.
So that would be, you know, one of the interviews. Another interview that obviously sticks out is the first chance to cover the NHL, 97-98, had moved from Regina, moved from STV in Saskatoon to CFRN with my old pal Roger Millions, who for some crazy reason hired me about 7 times. Thank goodness for old Roger. I might still be back in Estevan. This would have been fine.
Yeah.
It was in Wayne Gretzky's last year in the league. He was with the Rangers and walked into the Rangers dressing room. Like, listen, I'm not unlike anybody else. Like, you're pretty intimidated, or it's a pretty big deal. Like, I was whatever I was at that point, 30 years old or whatever. And I'll never forget it. Wayne was, like, literally half an hour after the fact, still completely in his jersey, dressed, answered every single question, whether you were me or Jim Matheson or, you know, longtime veterans. And I walked out of that room and I'm like, all right.
This is pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty neat.
You brought up Sidney Crosby, and it struck a memory with me when I interviewed him back in the day.
Here we go.
In Halifax.
Did he know that you wore 72?
I don't think he did. We didn't get into that.
Or 27, anyway.
Yeah. No, it was some kind of a work conference for my wife, and we were in Halifax, and it was in the summer, and we're sitting having breakfast with a whole table of people and her work people. And Sidney Crosby walks in to the little hotel restaurant with Nathan MacKinnon. And the only thing that I could get out of my mouth was, "Hey, Sid!" I like instantly turned into like a 12-year-old kid. And this is like, I think 2016. It was right after, it was the same like either week that Nathan MacKinnon signed his big deal.
Right.
Because we saw him later on at the lower deck with his family, and they were celebrating, you know, like, so yeah. It was just the coolest thing ever. But as soon as I saw him, I just, "Sid!" And he looked over and I didn't know what to say. So I said, "Congrats on the cup." I'm like,
big gulps, huh?
A thumbs up.
Well, see you later.
Hey, thanks. Yeah. You know, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, like, what did I just do? I just turned into a 12-year-old kid.
Well,
imagine walking into a dressing room with some of those guys and, you know, after a game and sitting around, that would be a dream.
It should be mentioned, Dino, that the lower deck, we spent a week there one night ourselves. It's a great place to celebrate and a fun time to be had by everybody at the lower deck.
Best band ever. Best band ever. Can you remember it?
No, absolutely not. But I will tell you, they can stick 1,000 people in a 400-foot room or 400-person room better than anybody.
Yeah.
They know where to stack them.
Listen, and you guys have traveled to a lot of different places. We have a pretty amazing country, don't you think? You know,
amazing.
We're prairie guys, and I think very highly of prairie people. But for anyone who has never spent any time in the Maritimes or Newfoundland, those are some beautiful, beautiful, lovely people.
Fantastic people.
I can't recommend that part of the world. You know, sometimes, and of course we can't do it now anyway, but in our country, you know, it's like everybody's got to go to the U.S. or we got to go here or we got to go there. If you want hospitality, beautiful places, great scenery, incredible food, people with very little pretense who will welcome you in, take some time and go to the Maritimes. It's a beautiful, beautiful place in every way. I think it's such a great representation of Canada at its best in a lot of different ways.
Well, Signal Hill.
Yeah, we talked about, like, I was going to bring it up. Obviously, I researched.
I'm sorry, I'm a little late, but it's Signal Hill.
That's the name of the
lower deck.
Yeah.
Name of the band. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, good job, Dino. You came through.
Yeah. Thanks for Google.
But we were, I mean, you went to Salt Lake. You saw you were the Golden Goal. You've seen some amazing events.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to ask, what's the, you know, do you have a top three venue that you've seen a hockey game at and a top three venue that you've seen a fastball game at? That would be kind of what I want to know. What's your favorite?
Top three venue? Boy, those are great. Those are great questions. And I've seen a lot of different sports in a lot of different places. You know, from a hockey standpoint, there's nothing, and unfortunately, I never even got to any of the old buildings. I missed all of them by the time that I ascended to covering the league and traveling around, where now I get to, you know, go to everywhere until now. We'll see what happens. But hockey in Montreal is a pretty special, like, the Bell Center isn't what the Forum was, but that would be one of my favorites. You know what? I'm gonna put it to you this way. I got asked this a little while ago. So let's go hockey first.
Okay.
Hockey first would be the Estevan Civic Auditorium.
Awesome.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Very cool.
Okay.
Wow.
The Bell Center in Montreal. And my all-time favorite hockey arena and maybe sporting venue of all time is the Saskatoon Arena.
Downtown.
There is just nothing like that place, memories, where it all began. So that's maybe not the answer you were looking for, but those are very special places for me. And in terms of softball, you know, Bob Van Imp is got to be number two. Three would probably be Softball City in Surrey.
Yep, very.
And one is Gordie Howe Park. Again, it's just too many memories, too special. So I could go so many different ways there based on the categories in terms of, like, the nicest hockey rink I've ever been in is the Ralph Engelstad Arena at the University of North Dakota. Like, it is, if you've never been, it's made out of, it's marble. Where you poop, it's marble. So there's marble everywhere.
Very cool.
It cost at the time about $350 million, but Ralph Engelstad, who was a major business player in Vegas, getting around Donnie back to Vegas.
Of course, it always comes back to Vegas.
It does. Should have cost $1 billion. So, but yeah, it's not easy to answer because I've been in so many, and I'm going to be mad when we're done because I'm going to go, you donkey, you were in this softball park at a certain point in time. You know, even in the last year, where have I been in the last year? Last year, I pretty neat softball park to watch UCLA. If you've never been, I went to a women's game last year, you know, in Palisades and in the Riviera area. That's a pretty neat spot. There's, you know, I went to see the Japanese women's national team play against South Florida at their neat little park. Do you know kind of a beating this guy takes? Like, while all my brethren are off, you know, drinking expensive wine and nice restaurants, where am I? I'm at the doubleheader for South Florida and Japan.
Well, that's where it comes from.
But I wouldn't trade it for a second. Honest to goodness.
Well, I don't think you're not going to get any argument with three guys on this. In this conversation, talking to you, that those are top three. And it's funny because we asked that question, and Donnie asked that question of all our guests, especially the former players. And Saskatoon always, you know, with us resonates. And I mean, there are some pretty awesome parks. But I got to ask you a question because, and I don't know if it's folklore, but you'll know as soon as I ask it, I'm sure. The old Estevan Arena. Yeah. Was the ice surface the same dimensions as the old Boston Garden? No. Okay.
Yes.
Yes, it was?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Okay.
I thought you were going to ask me, is it the same dimension as every other place? But
no. Oh, no. Because I...
185 by 80, I believe.
Yeah. I worked the SJ as a referee for 20 years. And I remember every game in that arena because even in a one man, there was nowhere to go. It's the only building in my whole career I called a 5-minute major for interference because the guy came. It just happened so quick. The benches were so close together that the guy looked back for a pass, got absolutely tattooed before the puck got to him, and he was out cold. I had no choice but to call a major penalty for interference. It was a wild place to do a game.
Did they have corners in that arena, Tosh?
Ah, here we go. Shut up.
I was just wondering if you might have saw one. Skate corners, by one, maybe saw one.
Corners are for 7-Elevens.
Okay, I got one question.
Okay.
I'll try to make it really quick. So think of, in your industry, who were some of your best mates like that you got to work with? Who did you like to work with most? Do you have a few?
Ian, that's a long list, in all sincerity. Probably, you know, I talked about Roger Millions. We worked together 3 different times. He was an incredible mentor. He taught me so much. He really paved the way. So, you know, I'd start with Rog, even though, you know, our roads never seemed to stop crossing, and there were a couple of tough spots along the way, including when I replaced him as the television voice of the Flames in 2008.
Yeah.
But I owe him so much. Sam Cosentino, who I did junior games with for 6 years, is one of my closest friends and has gone on to do it for another 8 or 10, is just one of my all-time favorite people. So he's right up there. Dean, I could go on forever because, you know, like whether it was in Estevan working with Gerald Bowman, Ray Morrison, Mike Toth and I worked together for the first time. He was the news director in Estevan for like 4 months when I was 20. And so in a newsroom, it was Mike, Gerald Bowman, and myself. And that, like, it only lasted like 5 months. That was a great time. I have worked in 36 years with so many unbelievable people who have made such, you know, listen, you know, we spent all night talking about games and memories and numbers and all of that. But, you know, the older I get, and I've had some not the best teammates, but that's been very, very limited along the way. But is there anything in life better than when we do something we love with people that we love to do it with? And in 36 years, the great partners, the great people, like a million times outweigh the other part of it.
Awesome.
Well, so I'd like to actually, if we could, ask you to come back. I only got through half of my notes. There's a lot of stuff we wanted to touch on that we never got a chance to, probably by design.
Well, you said you needed me to talk. That's never really been a huge issue for me.
No, but I mean, lots
how to listen and shut up might be a good starter once in a while.
But if we could have you come back, we would love to organize it. I know you're a busy man, but your passion is phenomenal. Well, you're busier than I am, probably. But
No, I'm not. You're driving back and forth to teach kids how to play the game the right way.
Yeah, it's true.
I am busy.
I am busy. Yeah, right.
You guys, hey, I'm only going to hold you to one thing tonight. You put on that tournament one of these days. I want an invite, and I need to be set up with a microphone to call.
Oh my God!
Final.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. We can figure that out for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's an easy one.
And this is also what we call a verbal binding contract. Yeah, so it's on air and will be, but so it's it's there. So Peter, thanks again. What I want to end with, as we do on every cast, is our parting shots. And we kind of went over it offline. What is there anything you want to leave the listener with from your time with us three knuckleheads? Please leave it.
They're not knuckleheads. Thank you for having me. This is I will never be able to tell you how much fun I've had because I have. But what I've thought about a lot, guys, and probably aiming more at not just, you know, your listeners, but maybe your kids, is, you know, I think in our world today, we've lost a little bit of remembering a couple of things. It's not all about talent, but it's about work. And it's being a great teammate. And it's about valuing your fellow person. So I sometimes find us now, and I've been as guilty as anybody sometimes, is we get so focused on where the road leads us sometimes that we forget about the journey. And we also sometimes have a tendency to deflect to talent. But for those kids who, and listen, I've known you guys for, you know, Donnie, not as much you, but the other two guys either known of, and Tosh, we've had lots of conversations over the years. We need to get back to understanding the opportunities that we have. The work matters. The dedication matters. Our commitment to all of those things matter. Be the best you can be, and be the best teammate you can be. Because in a world that seems to sometimes be focused on the stars and me, when you are part of a team and you make a difference on that team, there are no greater experiences that you can have, whether it's in your team, in your partnership, your friendships, your personal relationships, your work relationships. If we can all challenge ourselves to just do a little better of parking our own agendas, knowing more about our teammates and fellow humans and caring and finding out what matters to them, I think we can get a lot more out of our experiences. And in closing, thank you guys for taking me down memory lane and so many different great places. I come on every week if you wanted me to, but more importantly, I've tried to never forget where I came from, and I've had incredible experiences, and it's because of the people that I met and I've been able to learn from along the way. I've been really lucky, and at 55, just trying to be more grateful every day for things that sometimes you can take for granted.
Geez, Peter, you set the bar pretty high for anyone else doing a parting shot here. That's really well said.
All right.
Fantastic. Dino, do you want to try, or you just want to end
I'm going to give it a whirl.
Okay, good for you.
You know what, Peter? I'm inspired. Like, you know, I've been around a lot of people in this game. And like you said, there's some great people that kind of help you along the way. But I'm inspired. Like, I mean, the fact that we get to see you on the podcast. This is like my own little show. I get my own little TV show. I got Donnie down there, and I got Tosh over there, and I got you up there. And it's like, this is my own TV show. I can't even believe how incredible this podcast was. I thank you for coming. That's the least of what I want to say, but I'm inspired. I want to go out and I want to be better, you know, and that's my, you know, if I want to stay in my lane, that's what I want to do. I want to get better. And I know if I get better, I'm going to help somebody else get better. So that's pretty cool. I'm amazed.
Yikes. Yeah.
That's all I got.
Good, Dino. Tosh, you want to go?
Yeah, that, it was awesome having you, Peter. And Dino, I do agree. You need to get better for sure. That would be good.
there, that's what it's for. That's the
there.
Part
well,
of
it's
God.
Like, oh my God, kumbaya. Holy cow. But no, you know what, Peter, you hit it right on the head. And we talk about that all the time. And I
constantly tell the kids it's not about, you know, I was actually writing another letter for one of our kids that wants to, you know, go put on their profile to go to school, right? And one of the things that I don't take lightly, and I'll only put it in certain letters, is great ball player, better teammate. To me, that tells you more about the kid. If I'm looking for kids, that tells you more about the kid than anything, right? Their batting average, whatever it is. But if you put great player, better teammate, I just think that's one of the best compliments going. And so you hit it on the head, and it was awesome. It was awesome hearing about your stories. It was, I mean, you're talking about Estevan, that takes me back. It was awesome having you. And like Donnie said, if we can get you back on this thing, I'm sure Donnie, he's not kidding, man. He'll have 3 pages of stuff that he didn't get to, because he is that guy. He's the research guy. You guys can go back and forth, and me and Dean will just sit here, like he says. I'm doing air quotes so nobody can see this, but his own TV show.
Yeah, I see it.
I don't even understand what that means, Pete, but it was great having you here. His own TV
Thanks,
show. What
guys.
Does that mean?
Well, it's like right here. You're on the computer. We're all here.
I get what Dean's saying. Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah.
The one thing
you would. You're a pitcher.
Cool. That's true. Well, the one thing I would say, Peter, to yours is part of the coaching thing that I've really taken to that I love is, and it's a motto I've kind of lived by from a sales trainer that I have, is if we focus on the success of others, ours will naturally follow. So when we're talking about these kids who are coming up, and it's not about us. It's how can we help these kids get to where they want to go? And it's such a rewarding feeling, as Tosh was saying, they're asking you to write letters and coaches are calling about them. And you can't help but have a little bit of pride thinking, man, like these they're doing it. They're living the Kaylee Rafter dream. They're doing the things that they're getting, they playing the game for. So having you come on and say that, honestly, very inspirational. I'm glad Tosh made a joke, because it was pretty like, I was getting kind of misty there, but it was fantastic. Very well spoke,
very
though,
cool.
And such a
yeah.
good message to send out to the listeners. I loved sure. it. Thank you so much. Dino, you have one thing?
Sorry, I got one more thing, because this is my own little TV show, right?
Fair.
Peter, can you just say something with my name in it, kind of like, you know, like the end, you know, scores, shoots, he scores, something.
How about
me?
Because it's how my, about, oh, it's my God, Donnie Hale hit that ball a long way.
Oh, that ball finally landed, and I caught it.
He did. He probably wakes up having nightmares saying that over and over again.
You know what, though? What we did talk about earlier is you made a, like you were signing off from Gordie Howe. That would be a perfect way to end this podcast.
Yeah.
If you could, Peter, give us the honors.
Okay, here we go. I'll do the best that I can. Top of the seventh, Canada leading Australia in this gold medal game by a count of 2-1, 2 out, a runner at second base, and the batter is Nick Shales. Shales dealing now with Hoelein in a 1-2 count, and the pitch is on its way. Struck him out, and
yes!
Canada has won the world championship here in Saskatoon at Gordie Howe Park as they mob the former Saskatoon Blade in the circle to end the championship.
Oh,
so it's all come to an end. Canada, men's softball world champions 2009. I'm Peter Labardius saying so long. Hope you enjoyed it. Good day from Gordie Howe Park.
Thanks for listening to Tues Talk. New episodes weekly on Tuesdays. For more info, visit myloydminsternow.com or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.